This interview is brought to you by Panasonic Lumix G cameras for today's photographer.
I'm here with Michael Corsentino. He's a wedding photographer, wedding and portrait photographer, I think is how he's branding himself. But he's a guy who, in a lot of ways, is inspirational to me because he's kind of doing stuff that I would love to be doing. You know, he's got a successful wedding photography business. He's known throughout the industry. He's engaged in doing a number of things in terms of training and giving back to the community, all this cool stuff and all the stuff that I would love to be doing. But I have the opportunity to have a quick conversation with him on behalf of the TWIP audience and pick his brain. So welcome to This Week in Photography, Michael.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So let's just start. So who are you? No, let's rewind back. So I know you're in Northern California now. We're in Petaluma.
This is correct.
As we record this, but you're not originally from here. You're in New York.
I'm New York. Yeah.
Okay. So how did you
Brooklyn born?
How'd you go from right to left?
Well, you know, I'd always wanted to come out to California. It had just seemed like this. I guess been there, done that. You know, I spent a long time in New York, and I always had wanted to come out to California, and the opportunity presented itself, and I figured, let's do it. If I don't do it now, it's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm really glad that I did.
Yeah. So was photography a lifelong dream of yours? I know we had conversations before, and I remember you mentioning something about being involved in one way or another in creativity or creative arts from way beyond before you just started becoming a professional photographer.
That's right. Yeah, but I've been making images since I'm 12 years old.
Wow.
Yeah,
fingerprint.
Yeah, exactly. I was the kid with the dark room in my room, and you know, in my bedroom closet, and the whole thing, and then eventually graduate to another room in the house. My parents were nice enough to let me do that.
Yeah.
And then I studied in college, and then kind of went a different way, and ended up in graphic arts, being a graphic designer.
Mm-hmm.
Always continued shooting, but was doing more documentary work and self-financed editorial stuff where I would go and I would do I would assign myself some sort of project and then try and sell it to magazines and write a companion piece to go with it. So packaging an entire thing that I could try and sell to magazines. And I had a little bit of success with that, but it really wasn't about the money as much as the artistic side of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, editorial doesn't really pay that much. And, but I loved it, and it was great, and it kept my fingers and my hands into it.
Yeah.
When I was doing the graphic design, you know, for the money.
When you had your graphic design hat on, and contrasting that to now and how things are done now, you know, we've got lots of different tools and ways to share work, you know, and get hired, you know, through services, different freelance warehousing services. How has the industry on the design side changed from then to now, or has it?
You know, I've been out of it for a while, and I was a print designer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Right. I never
print?
Really.
What's that?
Yeah, exactly. I never bridged that gap between, you know, print and the web. Most of what I've learned in terms of web has all been, you know, due to my photography business.
Mm-hmm.
Just learning, you know, a little bit of, you know, hackneyed HTML and CSS and things like that. So in terms of, you know, the business, I'm sure has changed a lot in graphic design. But the few clients that I still have on the graphic design side of things, it's all print.
Yeah.
And basically my deliveries are just with, you know, PDFs and, you know, screenshots and things like that. I mean, it's pretty rudimentary.
So I want to talk about the current now. So Michael Corsentino Photography is the business that is your brand name.
Yes.
But the interesting thing is, you know, this is the first time. So we're actually in your studio right now, and this is my first time here. And this is I think what I'm seeing here is sort of a representation, in my opinion, of how these kind of businesses will go forward. I mean, you know, a lot of people, because just to give the audience an idea of what I'm talking about. So Michael has a beautiful home here. We're in his home and we're sitting in his screening. Was this the viewing room?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is the viewing room where he brings clients in. It's just, you know, immaculately decorated, and he lives and works in this space, and it's perfect. I think it's like a perfect ecosystem because you don't have the overhead of a studio or an office and all that, and you don't really need that. So, I mean, I visited another photographer a couple of days ago, And they have a, I mean, not to knock having a physical studio, but it's beautiful studio, you know, and, you know, established and all that stuff. But it's, and I think there's definitely still space for that. You know, it's definitely a viable, and I would love to have a studio, but I think it's, there's something streamlined and something economically smart about having a live workspace and bringing clients in, and you know, you could come down to your viewing area and bring clients in and then show them out and go up to your office and get work done and then go crash and then, right. You know, it's just that ecosystem. So how has this been for you, you know, having the setup like this? How's it working out?
Well, it's working out great. I mean, it's definitely a decision that you have to make. Mm-hmm. And it's a sacrifice in some ways, because this is, I would say, you know, 50% less, you know, a living room, and 100% more a sales and viewing room.
Right. Meaning for entertaining when you're
right.
not the photographer,
really,
Michael, you're,
right.
when you're the friend, Michael, you have to like, okay, now you're in my viewing room, not
right.
my living room.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're always looking at your work, you know, when your samples are up, you're seeing your clients and, mm-hmm. you know, it's also seeing your artwork, which I like, but at the same time, there's not really a lot of off time. You're always around your business.
Sure.
Which is okay.
You have to love your business then.
I do. Yeah. I love my business, yeah. but at the same time, I think it's good to have separation. And, you know, the goal is eventually to have a studio, mm-hmm. A bricks and mortar offsite studio and a separate space, or okay. a live work loft or something where.
So this is a stepping stone to that.
Yeah, I think okay. so. I think okay. so. You know, it's not for everyone,
mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of a workaholic. You know, I there is not really that much separation from me in terms mm-hmm. of my business and my private life
yeah.
because it's my artwork and I'm very connected to it and passionate about it. So mm-hmm. it works
so bring,
for me on
you
that
bring
level.
Dates on weddings with you?
And all exactly. exactly.
You know, just make sure you get another plate for them.
There you go. Exactly. Can you carry this bag? Yeah. Hold this reflector.
Exactly.
It's working out so far. You know, good
whatever,
help is hard to find.
Whatever works.
Yeah.
You got to overlap sometimes. That's cool. So the next evolution of this will be you sort of draw the line and move into a physical studio space.
Yeah, it's right? not hard and fast. I mean, mm-hmm. we'll see. It's, you know, one step at a time, and we'll sort of see how it evolves and progresses. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is wherever you are, I think you kind of have to own it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you can make any situation work for you. And the nice thing about a wedding and portrait business is it's a very intimate business.
Yeah.
So having it in your home, you can play on that intimacy because you're having people into a very personal and private space.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and I think that can work in your favor if you
it's
allow
like,
it.
It's like a almost a level up from a boutique, almost,
exactly.
right?
Yeah,
boutique is like, oh, right. we put this theme together because this is our philosophy for our studio. But when they're in your home, this is me, you know,
right.
this is me. And so you can really, you're introducing them to you by virtue of you bringing them into your space, and they can see how you live and how meticulous you are. And that
exactly.
will subliminally translate into how meticulous you'll be with their prints and,
exactly.
and treat their event.
Yeah. And the kind of brand association that you have in your space, the other, mm-hmm. You know, appointments that you have throughout your space that say, you know, high ticket items.
Yeah.
You know, the furniture, the, you know, whatever it is that you have, the way that your place is decorated,
yep.
all of that, you know, plays into it.
You know, it's all one thing. I mean, how you're dressed, how you speak,
packaging.
How you articulate,
right.
how your house is, yeah, how
exactly.
your neighbors look, all that stuff
exactly.
plays in. Okay, Michael, let's talk about marketing a little bit and how you're getting the word out about your business. Take me through what you were doing before and what you're doing now in terms of pushing forward the Corsentino brand.
Sure. Well, I think social media is really important. As we've discussed, Facebook, Twitter, and the blog, it really help to build a connection between you and your clients and potential clients, which I think is really powerful. I think people hire who they like and who they feel connected to. And, you know, if you're able to establish that connection and keep people engaged in your life and you know, the things that motivate you and excite you, then that translates, you know, into a positive thing, and people generally respond to it. So that's been really positive. And I think that there are two different kinds of marketing that I've become more aware of this past year, and not just marketing your brand, but marketing what your brand is producing, marketing the work that you're producing, so that you can boost your revenue and tilt it back into the business.
Yeah.
And so I've done some things very differently than I used to do, in terms of, boosting the bottom line and helping to really get the message out about the kind of brand that I'm building.
And what are some of those things like?
I used to put images online right away because everyone that I had looked at and the leaders that I was looking to for inspiration, had all said that's one of the most important things to do is get the images online right away.
Mm-hmm.
And maintain that connection emotionally, which is really valid. But I was finding that print sales were really, really low. And I needed that revenue on the back end to cover all the work that I was doing in the production, at the price point that I was charging at that point. And frankly, I'm still charging for my weddings and portrait sessions. There was so much work that was it's really kind of a customized process that I do. I don't use templates for albums, and I put a lot of Photoshop work and time into the images that I put in albums and the portrait sessions and stuff. So, mm-hmm.
You do all this yourself?
I do.
Do all your album design? You don't send it off to like Shoot.edit or something like that?
No, I do. I do it myself. Kind of control freak, I guess. And I really, and at some point that may be viable, when their volume is there and I feel comfortable letting go of that part of the process,
mm-hmm.
but not right now. So I really, wanted to, bring in some more revenue into the business. And I started working with a colleague of mine who has a different take on things. One of the things that he taught me was, don't put your images online before you have people come in. Have them come into the studio. And I know that there are other people who are doing this as well. And I'll tell you, it's made a world of difference.
Like what kind of difference? So they never see, you're not uploading and giving them a password. You don't do that.
At some point I do.
Maybe at the end.
They have to come in for what I call a red carpet premiere.
Hmm. And that.
Yeah, they come in for a preview, an ordering session.
Mm-hmm.
And so right after their session, be it an engagement or a wedding or a portrait session, we're scheduling about 7 days out for them to come in for a red carpet premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come in, there's a little slideshow and some beverages. It's either champagne or wine, depending on, whether it's an engagement or a wedding review.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a PDF that gets sent out during that week before they come in,
okay.
So that there are no surprises.
Okay.
And so that they're qualified.
So they know what they're going to see.
Right. They know exactly what to expect. And there are specials that are available only that night. And there are artist edits, something called artist edits,
mm-hmm.
and panoramics, which you see here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And those are only available in certain sizes. And what those are special edits that I put a lot of time into.
Mm-hmm.
And they're only available 1624 or above.
Mm-hmm.
So they cannot buy those prints in 4x6s and 5x7s and 8x10s.
Is this session when they come in? So they have a preview, so they have the PDF and they know what they're going to see,
right.
Or the style of your work. And so it's kind of like their teaser, right? So they,
well, no, the PDF is just a series of collections. I'll show you one.
Mm-hmm. Michael's walking over to his bookshelf now.
This is from a recent session.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm looking at a printout from Michael, and this isn't a PDF of images. This is a PDF of the different things that they could order.
Right. Specials.
It's like a price list.
Specials and a la carte. So these are the specials that are available only the night of.
Mm-hmm.
And these are what everything would cost a la carte. So they can see that there are substantial savings in these specials.
Okay. Got it.
So
okay.
I'm incentivizing those specials by really building in great discounts. And obviously, the larger the collection, the deeper the discount.
Okay, got it. Now, when you're in that session, when the client, the bride and groom, or the bride and her mom, or whoever, mm-hmm. are here looking at the images, is it low pressure or high pressure?
Very low pressure.
Are you here saying, well, you got to buy this now because it's a limited time only, you know?
No. I say, listen, guys, you can buy whatever you want. Mm-hmm. There are no minimums, mm-hmm. you know, but these specials are available tonight.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you don't have to commit to all of the images that night because there are a series of gift prints. Basically, it's a wall portrait, be it a gallery wrap or a luster print, and then a series of discounts and a series of gift prints. Mm-hmm. But what I'm really focused on with them at that point and where my business is really going is I want to create wall art for my clients.
Yeah.
That's really why I did this. I didn't do this, and I don't mean to sound flip or dismissive. I'm not in this to print 4x6s for people.
Right.
I think more of my art than, you know, a bunch of 4x6s and 5x7s.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be honest. I mean, I really do. I put so much time and effort, and I'm so emotionally connected to this that I want beautiful art on people's walls.
Yeah. Well, you know, does this sort of method or business practice apply to weddings, or is it just portrait sessions?
Weddings.
It's weddings?
Portraits.
So if you're at a wedding and you go through and you shoot, I don't know, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 images at a wedding, they're not going to come here and sit and go through each image with you, right?
Not.
So what are they going through?
Well, I'll bring those images home, mm-hmm. and then I'll edit them down mm-hmm. to, let's say, 700 images.
Mm-hmm.
Then out of those 700 images, I will put together my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also gone through and I've segregated each part of the day into a separate category,
mm-hmm.
Which will then be put online.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing is online until they come in, as I've said.
Okay.
Right? So, and with the engagement sessions, let me just backtrack. The engagement sessions, nothing goes online no matter what unless they are in a package.
Oh.
Right. So if they commit to one of these collections, print collections, then the images go online.
Then if they don't commit, what happens to the
engagement
session?
Nothing goes online.
They never see those photos?
Right. Well, they see them when they come in for their red carpet premiere.
Okay.
Right. But they don't go up, but they do not go online. If they want them to go online, I'll offer them, and they're not really up for a package. I'll say, well, listen, you know what? What I can do is we'll post them for $195, and mm-hmm. then you give you, I think it's like 14 days. If you want to get into one of these collections, we'll apply that $195 to your collection.
Brilliant.
And generally, if people are going to make that commitment to the posting fee, they're not going to walk away from their $195.
So the key is getting them in place and getting them in physically.
It's so important.
And then pushing them a little bit with a special, a time-limited special.
Yeah, it's not really pushing them.
Incentivizing them.
Right.
Yeah.
By mm-hmm. the point that by the time that they've come in, I have a significant investment of time in creating those artist edits
mm-hmm.
and creating those panoramics. And the way I think of it is, I used to do all of this work for my blog. I mm-hmm. would make these gorgeous photos and I would spend a ton of time. And then all of those photos could be ordered in 5x6s and 4x7s, or 4x6s and 5x7s and mm-hmm. 8x10s and small gift prints, and they'd all go into the album and all the rest, and none of that time was being compensated.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really strong arming anyone. It's me being compensated for my time.
Sure.
It's spec work.
Yep.
You know, when they come in, if they don't buy anything, I'm out that time. But if they do, then I'm getting compensated for my artistry and my work.
Yeah.
So there's no one is strong armed. No one is arm twisted or anything. It's like, look, guys, you can buy whatever you want. Again, there's no minimums. But if you want, then people will say, well, we want it in a 4x6.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. It's not available in a 4x6.
Yeah.
You can get it 16, 24, or larger.
I love that.
That's what this is about.
That's
it's about wall art.
Yeah. And so that's your target. You're
right.
Wall art, anything else is less attractive than creating big prints that are beautiful to hang on the wall.
Exactly.
And that's what you drive. That's great.
Exactly.
So what about business-wise? What about at the wedding? You know, do you find yourself shooting multimedia, doing video and that sort
Not
of thing?
Not yet, but I'm moving in that direction for sure. Yeah. In fact, the fellow that I was mentioning before has a strong video component to his business, and it's been really successful for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I'm really looking at. I'm starting to dabble with Final Cut, and mm-hmm. I think what I'll do is I'll start with engagement videos,
mm-hmm.
Working with the couple and maybe showing those engagement videos at the wedding reception, you know, getting both the couples to do a little interview, separating them and asking them interesting questions, and kind of getting some humor going, and maybe cutting in some of the images from the engagement session potentially.
Yeah,
we'll see. But,
so
but
you're
I also
kind of in that experimental phase right now.
Exactly. Yeah. But but it's definitely a direction that I want to go in. But I really want to nail the wedding and portrait thing before I start moving in other directions. There's a lot more work that I can do in this venue before I you know, move on to that.
Absolutely.
And one of the other things I was going to say was another thing. I'm also doing slideshows at the weddings day of of the images that I do during the day, and that's been really powerful.
Oh, okay. So you shot that morning, and you go through and do a quick select and
exactly
put them together for the reception.
Right, and they're processed. And, you know, I do all sorts of.
Are you doing that yourself, or are you
your
assistant?
Yeah, and I'll have my assistant shoot. So while I'm, you know, while dinner is happening, I'm busy editing like a madman.
That's great.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, and they're projected. They're not on a laptop or anything, and I coordinate with the DJ. And, of course, the couple knows this is going to happen, so it's not like they're surprised.
And you have, do you bring the projector and the screen and all that stuff and set it all up? And, wow,
and
nice.
I'll tell you, you know, you'd go from being another vendor to being, you know, a rock star.
Yeah.
People are blown away. And it works on many different fronts. From a marketing perspective, people love it. They come up to you. They want to book you. They want to inquire about, you know, all sorts of different kinds of work, wedding portraits, senior work, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it has emotional impact. You know, people are still right there in the moment. Mm-hmm. So while the pictures are not online immediately, they get a taste and they know.
Sure. They know there's quality
they
there.
They know there's quality there. The couple is relaxed because they're leaving for their honeymoon. They know you got the shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they're really happy. Their investment has paid off. They know that they hired the right guy.
Yep.
So it works on that front.
What tool are you using to do the slideshow?
I'm using Lightroom to do the slideshows.
Oh, really? You edit and then project it using the slideshow feature in Lightroom?
Exactly.
Oh, very cool.
That and a tool called RPG keys.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great. There are quick keys, essentially, for Lightroom.
Very cool.
That are super fast. Yeah, they're great. They allow you to assign presets, and I think 16 different presets that you. And so I have.
So you just kind of go through and play a symphony with chords on the different images. Yeah,
exactly.
That's really cool.
And I have a little title slide for the couple and an exit slide with my branding. And
That's cool. RPG keys. We'll have to look into that.
They're great. Yeah.
So what's coming up next for Michael Corsentino?
Lots of weddings and portraits, and I'm starting to do pets.
Mm-hmm.
And maternity and newborn, which has been a nice natural outgrowth of the wedding business.
Yep.
So it's all, you know, green
lights.
It's good. It's good stuff.
You're busy. So you're shooting two weddings at least a weekend now, huh?
Yes and no. Sometimes one.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Are you busy every weekend?
Pretty much.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. You're doing well. That's awesome.
It's okay. It's good. One other thing I wanted to mention is another thing that I started doing, you had asked me some of the different things, is I used to be really kind of very laid back about the engagement sessions. And, you know, we're in San Francisco and it's kind of a laid back town. And I would say, you know what, you just, you know, wear whatever you want. It's okay. And, you know, we'll meet on the beach or we'll do this or whatever. And we can do it, you know, 2 months before the wedding. And it's no problem. And I also completely revised that. So now the engagement sessions have to happen no less than 6 months prior to the wedding. And the reason for that is, and it's a complete
6 months.
Right.
Wow.
And it's a complete no-brainer. And I don't know why I didn't think of it before. It's that, you know, people aren't going to spend money on pictures if the wedding is 2 months away, on engagement pictures. They're thinking about the wedding. They're thinking about their wedding pictures.
Yeah.
They're thinking about all of the expenses that they're involved in at the moment for the wedding. They're not thinking about engagement pictures.
It's like having a birthday in the month of December.
Right. Exactly.
You're never going to get any good presents anyway.
Right. Yeah. What a gem. And also, now I tell people you have to dress up because the pictures have to be special. People are not going to buy pictures of themselves in sneakers.
Yeah,
they're
Snapchats.
Not going to buy as many. You know, they're really not. They're not going to put wall portraits of themselves wearing sneakers and tattered jeans.
Yeah.
It just, it, you know, those pictures have to be special. It has to be, the whole thing has to have a special feeling about it. Yeah. It's a special portrait session to celebrate their love, their engagement. They need to dress up. You make it a fashion kind of shoot. You know, you pick locations that are going to really work. Then they come in for a special viewing. The whole thing has an aura and a mystique around it.
Do you do the same sort of flow for the engagement shoots as you do for the wedding with the red carpet treatment and special packaging and all that? So the same flow.
Right.
So they're used to it by the time they get to do the wedding.
It's training.
Yeah.
Exactly. Your expectations. The clients know what to expect. So by the time they've come in after they've had their engagement red carpet, they know, okay, this is the process. Next time out, we're going to be coming in. And they're excited about it. Mm-hmm. I tell them, bring your family, you know, and your friends. And it's a big party.
That's beautiful.
But they also know they're going to be there to order prints.
Yeah.
You know, and it works beautifully.
Very good. Training the Client by Michael Corsentino. Well, Michael, thank you so much.
Sure.
For taking the time out of your day to chat with me. This is this has been educational. I think I'm going to have to steal some of your techniques.
There you go.
No, this is really great. So where can people find out more about you and check out your blog and all that stuff?
CorsentinoPhotography.com. That's CorsentinO.
Yep. Or just Google him.
You can Google me.
Yeah,
I'm all over Google.
You know all about the SEO stuff.
There you go.
Cool. All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.